It's going to make it really difficult for me to preach, I'm telling you, but I'm going to try. I've been dreaming of this anointing. God had been pouring this anointing out many years ago on the church. And somehow in transition, we became so religious. And I'm so grateful that the Lord is doing this move or is pouring out his spirit like this again. Did I tell you guys last week I had a dream of Rodney Howard Brown? And Rodney showed up in my dream and he goes, ah, ha, ha, ha. And that was the end of it for me. I love Rodney, he's a dynamic man of God. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved. Everybody say that's good news. Thank God it wasn't Mr. Trudeau that saved you. You'd all be carrying a rainbow flag. Thank God we are not saved by anything in this world, because anything else in this world would fail. We are not saved by idols. We're not saved by human strength. We're not saved by human ingenuity. We're not saved by human engineers. We are saved, the Bible says, by grace. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if you ever read this text and ingest it, but when you ingest it, you need to digest it and let it take over. And the Bible says, through our faith, we're saved by grace. Through our faith. And it is not from yourselves, it is a gift. Everybody say, salvation is a gift. Salvation is a gift. Yeah. Could you tell the Seventh-day Adventists that, please? Yeah. Amen. You don't have to work for it. 7 days, follow. They make you go to church on Saturday. Oh, by the way, you're here at church on Saturday. I'm sorry. For those of you watching us online on Sunday morning, we love you. God bless you. We're just having a good time in the presence of the Lord. Welcome to the broadcast. Not by works, so that nobody can boast. I like that. Nobody can boast. Not by works. Nobody can say, well, I did it of my own. It was my money that saved me. It was my wisdom that saved me. Not by might, nor by power. But you're saved by grace. By the Spirit, pouring grace upon us. Grace upon grace. I love it. I love it. The New Testament, ladies and gentlemen, operates only, big key word, only, by grace and faith, not spirit. Grace and faith. The entire New Testament only operates by grace and faith. If you were living in the Old Testament days, that's from Genesis all the way to Malachi, in fact, from Genesis all the way to Matthew, Luke, Matthew to John, under the Old Testament, you would live by law and obedience. But in the New Testament, you live by? In the Old Testament, you live by? And? Good. So the Old Testament operates by law and obedience. If there's law, somebody has to? Wow, you guys are good preachers. And so in the New Testament, there's grace, you have to have?
Faith.
Yeah, because in order for you to get what grace offers, you have to put your faith in it. In order for you to get what the law offers, you have to obey. So the extractor, everybody say the extractor from the law is obedience. The extractor from grace is faith. So you have to have an extractor. Do you understand? Something that can extract from these covenants. So the old covenant, you extract it by obedience. The new covenant, you extract by faith. I'm going to make it as simple as you can dream about. So way back from the very beginning to Adam, obedience to God was fundamental. It was the very foundation of having a relationship with God. So, if you didn't obey God, you couldn't get close to Him. Some couples treat each other like that. If you don't listen to me, if she doesn't listen to me, if I don't listen to her, she's gonna push me away at night. That's devastating. So if you wanted to get close to God in the Old Testament, how did you get close to God? You had to obey. And the more you obey, the more I obey, the closer I got. The more I disobey, the farther away from God I am. Are you understanding this morning? Jesus! So living in obedience was essential for the relationship you want to build with God. So when you get married, don't find a man that controls you. She's like,
I'm listening.
Oh, good. Thank you, Jesus.
Very well.
She's listening very well. Because that man will only be in your life as long as you obey, as long as you follow his instructions. Some people are only in the church because they have a moment in their life where they obey God. And when they stop obeying God, they flee the church because they think that their obedience means that, or their disobedience means that God is far away, and therefore they leave the church. So in the Old Testament, I'm making it as simple as I can for you drunks. Drunk people don't listen carefully. In the Old Testament, relationship with God was based on performance. Some of your marriages are like Old Testament marriages. That's where somebody says, ouch. My husband is not doing this. I don't know, I'm thinking of a divorce. Performance. Marriages are built on performance in this generation, which is silly, because that's what relationship in the Old Testament was built on. It was built on performance. It was built on what an individual did or did not do. And therefore, that determined how close or how far away that individual was from God. Some people, unfortunately, still think that's the way it works today. That a relationship with God is built on our obedience and performance and coming to church. Now, I'm not saying don't come to church. That's not what I'm saying. In the New Testament, God shifts us from a performance-based righteousness to a grace-based righteousness. Do you understand what righteousness is? The word righteous can denote holy or it also means right standing with God. So in the Old Testament, it was your obedience that made you have right standing with God. But in the New Testament, it's God's grace that makes you righteous, and now you have right standing with God. I can preach on that forever, but I won't. In the New Testament, relationship with God is only, everybody say only, maintained by grace. That's pretty scary, especially for religious people. Because religious people, of course, they live under the law. So they believe that when somebody's misbehaving, that their relationship with God is far apart. Because they're misbehaving. So this is where we get the word backslidden from, you drunks over there. You're backslidden because you haven't performed. But there is no such a thing as backslidden in the New Testament. The New Testament doesn't teach about backsliding because our relationship is not built on obedience. Our relationship is built on grace and faith. So when you hear people say, oh, they're backslidden, right off the bat, tick it off, religious. They don't know the Bible. The word backslider that we've been taught doesn't apply to people under grace. How can you backslide from grace? You can backslide from the law, but you cannot backslide from the grace of God. You're either in grace or not yet in grace. I didn't want to say out, because I want to leave room for you to come. You're either under grace or not yet under grace. Now, while performance is no longer the basis of my relationship with God because I'm under grace, it's important for us tonight to discuss the idea that obedience is still necessary. Everybody say obedience is still necessary. So I'm not saying that your performance is going to give you any type of accolade. However, I am saying that you must, as a believer, become obedient to the things of God. Amen. So obedience in the New Testament is actually a response to grace, not a response to fear. Can I say that again? So in the Old Testament, when somebody obeyed God, they obeyed out of fear of punishment or fear of destruction or fear of being ostracized. But in the New Testament, we obey in response. Everybody say in response to grace. So it's reciprocal obedience. Do you understand? God shows me his grace, and out of recognizing God's goodness in my life, man, I just want to serve God. Do you understand? When I see how good he has been, when I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, I want to respond. I want to go tell everybody the Lord is good. So it's a reciprocal behavior instead of a fear response. You know, we West Indians, and I don't want to categorize myself there. We do this, Emmanuel, because we want our kids to respond out of fear. But God wants you to respond to him out of love. Responding to God out of fear is not healthy for a growing church like ours, especially when we have a lot of people who are drunks. (Laughter) God doesn't want us to run our home with a whip and a slipper. God wants us to run the church and our home with grace, God's love. God wants us to respond to his love. So obedience in the Bible, in the New Testament, is a response to God's love. It means that you don't have to earn it, but you should respond. Everybody say, I should respond to God's love. Okay, good. Let's look at a text to prove it. John 14:15. John 14:15. Look at what it says. Look at what it says. Let's read it in the context I'm teaching it. God is speaking, and he's saying, hey, Shekinah, if you love me, obey my commandments. But he's not saying, if you fear me. He's saying what? Love. You obey God out of? Not out of fear. When you obey God out of fear, you're living under the Old Testament. When you obey God out of love, that's New Testament theology. We have to learn now how to maneuver between the middle page of New Testament and Old Testament. Some of us don't know how to maneuver that. Our brain doesn't think like that. So I'm going to teach you. Welcome to church. Not somebody and say, welcome to KICC. So if you are constantly responding with rules and regulations and whips and stones, you're living under the Old Testament. The way we ought to respond is by love. And we respond to love. That's how God wants us to live, through love. Now you cannot live by love under the law. Jesus says no man can serve two masters. You would either hate the one and love the other, or love the one and hate the other. But you can't serve two masters. You can't be a hybrid, Sanj. In Christianity, we have a lot of hybrid believers. One day they want the law, and one day they want grace. And they only want grace when it's suitable to them. But they never show it. When they do something wrong, they plead grace. When somebody else do something wrong, like the woman in John 8, they pick up stones. Amazing how this works. We want grace when it's convenient, but we show law when we're upset. How is that even possible? Because you're a hybrid. You're an alien. What's what Paul says? You are an alien. You are a hybrid. You don't know if you want to work by gas or electricity. You don't know if you want to work by law or by grace. You're a hybrid. That's what a hybrid is. Paul gave me a hybrid car once. I gave it back. It makes for a good joke, Paul. Thank you. I appreciated it. Some people think that if they obey, God accepts them better. Or God will give them more gifts. Yeah, you know what? I better pray more, fast more, so I can get more. That's law. That's law. That's how the law works. If I obey, I get blessed. Deuteronomy 28. You're still thinking law. You're still thinking law. If I do this, the more I do this, the more God will give me. Or if I miss church, oh no, I've backslidden. God's not going to bless me. All hell is going to break loose. In fact, you're inviting the devil by thinking like that. You're under grace. And wherever you go, for however long you go on vacation, you're still under grace. Now, please don't go on vacation. take me with you. Obedience is not a condition for acceptance. Grace is. Obedience is not a condition for a better relationship with God. Grace is. Obedience is not a condition in the New Testament for you to gain more from God. Grace is. Paul says, had it not been for the grace of God, I would not be here. You have to learn about grace. You have to learn about it. Because what you're going to do if you don't know grace, you're going to come to a little girl like Deborah that doesn't know nothing except joy. And you're going to corrupt her. You're going to say, Deborah, you look like you're not praying enough. I can see it. You know why? Because you don't look spiritual. Nonsense. That's garbage. You're trying to tell the child because of her prayer she'll become spiritual. And I'm telling you because of grace you're spiritual. Let me drop the mic. This is how the law talks. You got to pray more. You got to give more. Now, I don't mind giving. I'm buying a building. But if you feel that your obedience is what qualifies you to gain anything from God, you've already disqualified yourself. It's not your obedience that gives it. It all comes from the grace of God. All good gifts comes where? From your obedience? All good gifts comes from above, from the Father of lights. Last week I told you, obedience has no rewards. But here is what obedience does for God. It shows him that you love him. Obedience has no rewards for you. But when you are obedient, you are saying, if you love me, by obeying his commandments, you are saying, Lord, I don't go and tell God in your prayer time, Lord, I love you, don't know how much I love you, and you're out there sinning. God, I love you, but I'm done. I'm at the caravana this morning. Jumping, jumping, jump, 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 jump. I got springs in my foot still, bro. Done. I still know how to jump up. You want me to show you? Paul, I can spring. Trust me. You know how many caravanas I've been to? But now I fall in love with the Lord. And now the Lord can expect my obedience. It's the same way when you're in love with your wife. She should expect your obedience. Amen, Quran, amen. It was your wife that said it so loud. Obedience is motivated by love in the New Testament, and obedience is motivated by fear in the Old Testament. That's the difference. So if you fear of losing something and you feel that you have to pray more, fast more, perhaps even come to church more, coming to church is a good thing. But if you're doing it to gain, no, sir. If you're serving God in the house and you're volunteering to move chairs and packing up music equipment and thinking that God is going to bless you for doing that, no, that's a demonstration of your love for God. So when you hear people complain, you don't know how much I've done for that church, KICC. They never did it for the Lord. They did it to earn something. I'm fixing some theology, and hopefully we'll get some neology from it. We are all expected to obey. And the reason we're expected to obey is because we are children of God who says, I love my papa. Hey, kids, I'm glad you came and you're not sitting with your parents so I can talk to you. Don't worry, your parents are nowhere close to you. The reason you obey your parents is not because you fear them, but because you love them. I love my mom and dad. And because I love my mom and dad, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be amazing. Don't obey this guy. He's big. He's big. I'm afraid of him. Don't obey him because he's loud. Africans are all loud. I've seen him drill you kids yesterday at the basketball. But don't obey him because of his voice. Obey him because you love your papa. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. When your kids are not obeying you, what is that telling you? They're losing respect and love for you. At that point, you need to wake up and rebuild. When your kids are not obeying you, let me say it again. When your kids are not obeying you, this is a sin factor. You are losing respect and honor in their eyes. Don't come tell me about they're too old. They're old now, they can do their own thing. No, no, no. Respect and honor is never too old. There's no age limit on it. My Uncle Ray, even when I was younger and doing all my stupid stuff, I never drank in front of him, ever. There was just, it's just something that is inbuilt into me, not to drink in front of my uncle. But one day, Uncle Ray gave me a beer. And I'm telling you, he didn't give it to me facetiously. He gave it to me because I had kidney stones and the yeast would have put it out. But I think that's the only time I've ever drank in front of Uncle Ray. Even to this day, I would never touch alcohol. Even I'm afraid to eat rum cake in front of him. Because it's respect and honor. Everybody say respect and honor. It doesn't matter how old you get, you got to learn to respect and honor. If you don't have respect and honor, you don't have love. You don't know who you're dealing with. So, from the very beginning of creation, God had established laws. Write it down. From the very beginning of creation, God had established laws. So, one of the first laws that he had established with the human race is found in Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17. It's when God instructed Adam, and he said to Adam, you see that tree over there? Do not eat the fruit on it. Everybody say that's law. He was establishing a rule of command. He says, Adam, everything in this garden I've given to you, but you see that tree over there? Don't touch it. In the day that you eat of that fruit, you will die. So he established law. The first thing God established was law. Law came before grace. I want to show it to you. Law. The principle of law is established. Don't eat or perish. Don't drive fast and get caught or you're going to get a ticket. Don't cheat on your wife or you will bury die. You're reading the scripture, hallelujah, or you will die, according to Genesis 2, 16 and 17. It's the same command, guys. She's right. She's reading it right. When Adam and Eve disobeyed, it was a very pivotal moment in the human history. Because in disobeying God, it resulted in severe consequences. Because that's the example of the law. When you break the law, there are consequences. When you break grace, there is no consequences. Everybody say grace is a better covenant. I'll get there in a minute. When you break the law, there's a consequence. You can expect punishment. Adam knew because God warned him. He says, you break the law, you touch the tree, you will die. So Adam knew what was coming. What came? What came? Separation from God. The first thing that came to him was that God separated himself. God says, you got to get out of this garden now. You can't stay here with me. Separation. The second thing that came was curses and consequences. For example, pain in childbirth. That's a curse. And all the ladies said, I lift that curse from you, be healed. Strife in relationship came. Anybody know what strife in relationship is? Fighting and murmuring and backbiting and fighting over parents and all these stupid little things. Finances, who didn't change the toilet paper roll when they finished it, and who squeezed the toothpaste from the bottom and who squeezed it from the top, and I don't like it when you don't wipe the sink, and I don't like it when you leave a dish overnight in the cup. That's all that came from sin. Amen, Alice. Amen. All that came, consequences. And then toil, you know what toil is? Hard work. Gosh, us men, why did Adam sin? Hardship and labor. So, what I'm trying to tell you is that the law forced external consequences. The law caused people to comply only because there were consequences. Did you hear what I said? Can I say it over here? Maybe you guys will get it. The law caused people to obey based on the fact that there were going to be consequences for their disobedience. But here's what was missing. Adam's heart. Adam's heart was not on God. Adam's heart was on Eve. Everybody say amen. He only obeyed because there was consequences. So eventually, when Eve ate the fruit, he followed Eve. How many of you stupid enough to follow Eve? Don't lift your hands, anybody. I hope there's no Eve in this church. Adam disobeyed God to follow Eve because that's where his heart was. Wheresoever a man's treasure is, there will his heart be. Adam's treasure was not God. Adam obeyed God for a season, and he would have kept obeying God if Eve obeyed God. But the moment Eve disobeyed God, he disobeyed God. Check it out. He only disobeyed God because his heart was on Eve. That's where Binju is saying, I'm glad I'm single. Don't you see that in our society? People go buck wild when their spouse do something wrong. They stop coming to church. They start drinking. They start eating more. Why? Because your heart is not on God. Your heart is on people or your spouse or your children. So you pull yourself away from God when trouble comes because your heart was never on God. Or when temptations come because your heart was never on God. So this is what happened to Adam. His heart was never on God. He could comply without love. Everybody say, we can comply without love. A lot of people do that. They comply without love. Amen, somebody. Have you ever seen people serve God without genuinely having a transformed heart? I have all the time. I have in this church. I have in every church I've ever been to. It's called religion. 1 person got that joke. Religious people only serve God for what they can get out of it. They never serve God because they love God. I'm sure there's nobody. You're not religious, right? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Religious people do that. They serve God for what they can get. That's been the trend of religion. Bless me or I'm out of here. Be nice to me or I'm upset. I'm gone. I'm offended. Religion. You don't understand loyalty. You don't understand love. When you love somebody, you can't just forfeit and abandon. Adam could not just forfeit and abandon God if he had loved God. But he loved Eve more than he loved God. Religion, however, has no love. It just has compliance, obeying rules, following rituals, giving because it is necessary to get blessed. It's kind of like playing the lottery ticket. Some people just give because we know if we give, he'll give back. And when he gives back more, so we just give. And we give to get. That's lottery tickets in the church. Some people just give because they want to get blessed. Isn't that the same why you buy a lottery ticket? Talk to me, somebody. That's exactly why we buy lottery tickets. So you treat the church like lottery. Instead of saying, Lord, I'm committed to pay my tithes and my offering. You just give when it's convenient for you. When you're feeling the crunch, you've read Malachi chapter 3. Give, and he will give back to you. Well, that's not Malachi, that's Matthew. But close enough. Bring your tithes and your offerings into the storehouse. And I'm going to pour out a blessing that you can't contain. So everybody know, as soon as you start tithing, God's going to start blessing. Because you're giving to get. You're following a principle. But you're not actually giving because you genuinely want to give to God. You're not giving out of love. So the New Testament says this. The Lord loves a... You know why some of you still tithe? Because you're not cheerful. Tithing is for people who are not cheerful. Giving is for people who are in love. You tithe 10% and your 10% is 3,203 cents. Anytime, I thank God I don't check the tithing record. Anytime I see 3 cents, 5 cents, 7 cents, 9 cents, 10 cents on the tithing, I know you're religious. Cheerful givers, people who are in love, give big. Harriet, let me see your hands. No, this hand. When you're in love, you buy stuff like this. My wife doesn't have any. Emmanuel, she lost it. I'm sorry. Do you understand? We can do things by the law, or we can do things by grace, the love of God. When you do things by grace, it's much bigger, it's better, it's more secure than when you do it by law. Law means you're afraid or you're gambling. Many people serve God just out of law or obedience. In fact, some people, Jesus accused some people of being pious, and he said it this way, you wash the outside of the cup, but the inside is filthy. You're good at putting on the show on the outside, your piousness on the outside. But when the rubber really hits the road, it's like scratching a lottery. We don't know what you're going to manifest. So in the Old Testament, most people only followed God. And I said most. Most people only followed God. One, because it was offered to them. If you obey me, I will bless you. Or two, they followed God because if they disobeyed him, he would bring consequences. So they followed him out of regulation, rules, duty, not out of love. The Old Testament people hardly had love for God. They hardly, I'm telling you, they hardly loved God. They hardly, a handful of people loved God. A handful of people. Moses loved God. God called him a friend. David loved God, a man after my own heart. Hosea loved God. No matter what Gomer did, he kept taking her back. No matter how much sin she committed, he took her back. He loved God. Jeremiah loved God. I can go on, man. Now, you got to hear me today. Fear is a good motivator, but it's temporary. Emmanuel, I'm only going to be afraid of something until I learn how to control it. I was afraid of snakes until I learned how to pick it up and control it. You know why you're still afraid of snakes? Because you can't control it. And people are afraid of what they can't. You know why you're afraid of me? I'll leave it there. Not because I'm a snake. Who said that? You're afraid of what you can't control. I'm telling you, I've lived this life a long time. It's a fact. You know why you're afraid of the police? I'll leave it there. While fear, ladies and gentlemen, is effective for a short period, it cannot sustain a relationship for a long period. There's only so long this boy is going to be afraid of you. One day he's going to stand up. You're done. So you can't use fear against him. Because the day that he overcomes fear, every family is doomed. Anybody who puts fear into their kids, when that kid gets old and they overcome fear, you're done. They'll throw you in an old folks home and leave you there. And some nurse will twist you over and spank your butt. Sarah is saying, please don't throw me in an old folks home. Fear-based obedience never leads to long-term change. Have you ever noticed on a pack of cigarettes, it clearly tells you it causes throat cancer and everybody smokes? Why? Because they have overcome fear. It works for kids until the kids overcome and then they're smoking more than their parents. Fear-based obedience doesn't work long. The law couldn't work for very long because it is fear-based obedience. Are you understanding where I'm going? Fear-based obedience never creates a genuine transformation in the heart. Yet that's what God wanted. God wanted hearts, not obedience. God always wanted people to follow him out of love, not out of obedience, out of fear. We don't follow God in the New Testament based on fear. Fear that we're going to lose our house. Fear that we'll get sick. Fear that the devil will attack us. That's Job. You're not Job. Everybody say, I'm not Job. Everybody say, Job was messed up. Yeah, I'm just leave that there. Job followed God. And that's the test that Satan came to deal with Job. Job only follows you because of what you can give him, Satan says. He doesn't really love you. Check it out. It's right through the Bible. I can preach it for days and weeks and months and years, and you don't have all that time because we're going to go home in a few minutes. I'm only getting past like 5 pages here. But I should give you enough so you can come back next week and get drunk again. God wants you to follow him out of love, not out of fear, right? God wants my love. God doesn't want my fear.